Hello, I'm Gabriel, lead pastor of Grace Communion Richardson. And here at Grace Communion Richardson, we seek to know Jesus and to make him known through worship, through family fellowship, and through neighborhood engagements, all out of the compelling love of God that is expressed in our Savior Jesus Christ. Welcome to our worship stream this Sunday, and we appreciate you joining us each Sunday as we share the hope of the good news that is in Jesus Christ, the hope that says God loves us and God is with us, even during these very difficult times. So please let us know if you have any prayer requests. The address to send a prayer request to is at the bottom left corner of the screen. There is so much going on, so much that is cause for anxiety, for fear, for uncertainty. And God has given us the gift of prayer, the gift of communicating with him, our hearts, what's going on in our hearts and minds. And we would love to join you in prayer about your request. So please feel free to send us your prayer request. And also any comments that you may have as you join us on these streams that we have on Sundays. Also, please let us know where you are watching from and who you are watching with. It is interesting to know that as well, and we would like to know if you don't mind sharing that with us. As you may already have noticed, Grace Communion Richardson is a diverse group of people. We are diverse ethnically, and we are diverse in other ways as well, in terms of age and whatnot. And we seek to honor that diversity in unity that God has given to all of us as human beings. Our diversity is a gift from God. As we recognize these differences as united in our common identity in Jesus and in our common humanity, in the sense that we all made in the image and likeness of God. And so we seek to honor that, we seek to respect each other, we seek to honor each other, help each other, cooperate with each other. We're not perfect in it. It is something that we are growing into. We recognize that God did not intend for us to do life alone, and God gave us life together in our differences, united through the Spirit in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you are interested to know more, if you are interested in being a participant in this movement of valuing diversity in unity based in our shared identity in Jesus, in our shared humanity, please feel free to reach out and we'll be pleased to engage with you. Right now, I want to invite you to join our praise team for a song. And then after that, we will have prayer and scripture reading by Barry and Tammy. And then I'll come back with a word of thanksgiving for your continued generous support of our gospel effort. And then we'll get into the main message for today's worship stream. Please stay with us.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us today. In Psalm 105, it says, "Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice."
Seize that I should be in my hands. Dear God, we thank you for this opportunity to worship you formally in fellowship with each other. The technology that allows us to do this online, and we ask your blessings on everything that is said and done. Ask a special prayer for what's happening in our nation and worldwide, that you intervene, do your will with the COVID-19, but we also ask that you heal, and you did tell us to ask, even though we ask according to your will. And we place this, our lives and this service and all in your hands. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Romans 8:12-25. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we shall share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected to it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoptions as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is not seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he has already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently.
Thank you so very much to our praise team for the beautiful praise song, and also to Tammy and Barry for the prayer and the scripture reading. We appreciate that very much. Right now, I want to specifically address Grace Communion Richardson members, as well as all the supporters that we have, and those of you out there who share our values and who are continuing to financially support our gospel effort. Thank you. Thank you for helping us spread hope that is desperately needed. Thank you for helping us let people know that they do not have to do life alone. If you want to support us financially, you can see the many ways that you can do so on the screen right now. And I also want to say thank you for your prayer support and the various ways that you also support the gospel work. God bless. I want to invite you to a Zoom discussion after this message. The ID is on the screen. If you need to call using the phone number is on your screen as well. If you are watching on Facebook, the link that you can click on to join Zoom is in the description. If you are watching from our website, the link is on top of the video. I look forward to meeting you on Zoom for discussion and for fellowship. God bless. Welcome to the main message of this live stream. For those of you who are interested in the title, it is simply Done Deal. Done Deal. Now, that's a phrase or a term that we use to describe when something is understood to be completed, to be finished, even though we may not have yet realized the fruit of whatever it is that we are talking about. So a done deal refers to something that is understood to be completed, even though it is yet to be completed. So it is an already and not yet type description that we have when we say something is a done deal. We understand and anticipate that everything is going to be completed, and there's no question about it. Have you ever wondered how it will all turn out? The ebb and flow of life, the struggle with human selfishness, and the challenge in human love relationships. Do you despair of hope? Do you despair of real lasting change in the human condition as well as in creation as a whole? Despite the turbulent roller coaster nature of life with its pains and joys, the deal, friends, is already done. Victory in Jesus is already won. It is a done deal in Jesus Christ. Life's suffering, life's pains, life's disappointments, the betrayals and uncertainties of life cannot undo the done deal that's been accomplished in Jesus by our Father. Nothing can undo that. That's what Romans 8 is bringing to our attention, reminding us of as we go through this section of writing from the Apostle Paul. It is a hopeful message that we glean from these passages. So the done deal is a message of hope. It doesn't say that everything is hunky-dory. It doesn't say that we live a life of peaches and cream. But it does say that no matter what it is that we grapple with, it is a done deal. The victory is already being won. So what is this done deal? What is it that God has done in Jesus that we describe as a done deal? That Romans 8 is talking about. And we are going to spend all of our time in Romans chapter 8 until we finish reading all of it. We've already spent some Sundays on this particular passage, this particular chapter of the Bible. And Romans 8 is meant to be a hopeful chapter. And so it is referred to as the hope chapter by a number of commentators and theologians. Because Romans 8 is a great source of hope. The hope that God gives to us as a gift in our challenges of life, in the vicissitudes of life, we have the gift of hope to keep us going, recognizing that the deal is done. It is a done deal. Okay. I'm sure when I say done deal or the deal is done, it reminds some people of certain songs. And the import of those songs, some of it really illustrate, you know, what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. So the done deal is this. God in Jesus Christ has done all that is needed. All that is needed to be done for our salvation and eternal life of love and joy as the children of God. Let me say that again. God in Christ Jesus has done everything that needs to be done, all that needs to be accomplished, so that we may be saved and that we may have an eternal life of love and joy with God and with each other as the children of God. That's the done deal. It's done. It's been accomplished. Jesus has accomplished that. When Jesus said, "It is finished," on that cross, he meant that indeed the plan is being completed. The actions that are necessary on his part to ensure that the deal is done has been completed. Of course, the consummation of it, the exclamation point of it, is his resurrection, which was in God's hands. And he did say that on that cross as well. "Into your hands I commend my spirit." And God raised him up on the third day as an exclamation point. And so through the resurrection, we have that assurance that everything that God has intended for us, that God has planned for us, is going to be accomplished in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So it's a done deal. Let's not forget that that is the source of hope that we have in Jesus, that the deal is done. And that's what Paul is describing here in Romans 8. And I thank Tammy for reading Romans 8, chapter 8, verses 12 through 25. I'm going to take some excerpts from the passages here in verses 12 through 25. Verses 12, Paul says, "Therefore," after describing the fact that Jesus died and was raised from the dead in the previous verse, and that spirit, the spirit of Christ, who was raised from the dead, lives in us and leads us and provides us the identity of being children of God. He goes on in verse 12. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, as a result of this truth, as a result of this reality, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh," he says, "to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those, verse 14, who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Paul is basically saying here, friends, that the Spirit is what reminds us that we are children of God. And the Spirit that reminds us of this, that makes us children of God, that makes possible that relationship with God as his children, also leads us. In other words, we can live a life motivated by the Spirit rather than by the natural, selfish, material worldview that as a result of our brokenness, we are ensnared in. Paul is saying that that natural, selfish, material worldview leads to death. It is a death cult. However, the Spirit-motivated life leads to life. The Spirit-motivated life is a manifestation of who we are in Jesus as the children of God. It's a manifestation of our identity in Christ. So that our identity is no longer in the material. It is no longer in the worldly. It is no longer in the natural, but in Christ Jesus. So the selfish, material, or natural motivation is not what we should be led by. Rather, we should be led by the life-giving identity in Jesus that the Spirit provides. In verse 15, he goes on to say, the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. Brought about your adoption to sonship, he says. So the Spirit informs us, brothers and sisters, motivates us, reminds us, helps us, empowers us to understand that we don't have to go back to the fear that the natural, material, selfish worldview gives. The natural, material, selfish worldview entangles us in fear. And so we are afraid whether we measure up. We are afraid whether God loves and accepts us. We fear whether we are good enough. We fear whether we will be rescued from suffering and death. We fear that God will abandon us. No, Paul is reminding us that being motivated by that Spirit gives us assurance, and we should live out that assurance that we are indeed children of God, that God loves us as his children, and that he is in our lives with us, and he works things out. Jesus, as God in the flesh, God incarnated in the person of Jesus so that we may understand that he is with us, not against us. He is for us and not against us. And that we will have hope to go through the vicissitudes of life, the struggles of life, the challenges and trials of life, the ebbs and flow of life, that he is in it with us. You see, being children of God, Paul is saying here in these verses, does not mean that our struggles disappear. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that we don't have any more challenges. No. Rather, we understand as we go through the struggles and challenges that we are not alone in them. that we don't have to be alone in these struggles and challenges. Now, you may say, well, why doesn't God just remove these struggles and challenges? Well, that is what we are saying. He has done that. It's a done deal that these struggles and challenges are not going to remain with us forever. However, between now and then, we have hope. The hope that leads us to the fulfillment of this promise that the suffering, the death, the vicissitudes of life, the challenges and trials of life that we go through now will pass away. They are not meant to be forever. Between now and then, we are living in the in-between times. And we'll talk some more about this next Sunday. But God in Jesus has already accomplished that which is needed to be accomplished so that we can hold on to that hope, even in the midst of trial, that this too shall pass because Jesus is taking care of it. So, God is our Father. He is home and present with and for us always. Let me say that again. God is our Father and He is at home. He's not an absentee Father. He is at home, present with us and for us always. He has created a trust for taking care of us no matter what. And that trust is His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is our trust. You've heard of trust fund baby. Well, in that sense, we are trust fund babies, not in the sense of being spoiled, but in the sense of being rescued. In the sense of being taken care of, in the sense of having a father who looks way ahead and makes sure that after everything is said and done, we are secure, that we are safe, that we are taken care of. And that trust is Jesus Christ. In Romans 8 and in verses 18 to 23, we will see that next time when we go through it. But I just want to refer that passage of scripture to you that we will have a better understanding that indeed it is a done deal in Jesus and it is to our benefit and the benefit of the whole creation, this done deal that we are talking about. It is not just for us as humans alone, but for the entire creation, because the entire creation, including us, need that rescue. Need that saving, need that relief, need that liberation, need that freedom. Our suffering right now, whatever it is that you're going through, friend, must be placed in the context, the overarching context of who God is and the done deal He has accomplished in Jesus on your behalf and on my behalf. It is an incredible understanding to have in the midst even of suffering, in the midst of trauma, in the midst of things that we do not understand, in the midst of uncertainties, in the midst of a virus, in the midst of racial or justice issues, in the midst of whatever it is that we go through, we need to understand within the context of what God has done in Jesus Christ for us and the overarching nature of it. And that gives us hope. In verse 24 to 25, Paul writes, Romans chapter 8 and the 24th verse to 25. He says, "For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." Now, what is he talking about? Now, it sounds like, wait a minute, Pastor, you are just saying that it's a done deal. And here is Paul saying we do not have it. Well, here Paul is describing the nature of this done deal that we have in Jesus. Hope is another name for the already and not yet. The time between now and the fullness of the receipt of our inheritance. That's what hope is. Hope is the stopgap between now and when we completely receive all that God promises. And all that God promises is in His Son, Jesus. So we live in what scholars and theologians would describe as in between time. The already and not yet. As I said earlier, when I said the title of this message is Done Deal, we understand what done deal is. When a deal is done, it means, it signifies that something is completed and yet not yet in hand. What is in hand is the deal, right? So when a deal is done, it means that everything that needs to be understood about whatever that deal is has been understood, has been agreed upon, the I's been dotted and the T's crossed. And then there is a waiting period for that fulfillment to occur. That's where we are, the waiting period. And in that waiting period is the gift of hope. Because of that done deal, we have hope that everything is going to turn out well. Everything is going to turn out in victory. Everything is going to turn out successfully because the deal in Jesus is done. So between now and when we actually inherit the fullness of the done deal, which is our salvation and eternal life of love and joy as children of God, between now and when that actually fully occurs, our glorification, as scripture also refers to it, or as our resurrection, as scripture also refers to it, God gives us this gift of hope to keep us going. Gives us this gift of hope to trust in Jesus. In the ups and downs of life, we have hope as the anchor. We have hope as the helmet that helps us keep away the worldly, natural, material motivations and ideologies that lead to death. Which hope as a helmet protects our minds from. Hope as an anchor keeps us steady in the storms and winds of life. The waves and the storms and winds of life. Hope keeps us steady. Hope is what reminds and motivates us whose we are and the victory that He has won for us. And that we are not helpless and that we are not alone. So, Romans 8 is a hopeful chapter in scripture. Very hopeful one. As I said earlier, Paul reminds us that this hope is not even just for humans, but for all of creation. All of creation. In verse Romans chapter 8 and in verse 20, for example, he says that the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it in hope. So the whole creation needs liberation, just as we do as humans. The whole creation needs freedom from corruption, just as we do. And Paul here in Romans 8 is reminding us that Jesus has accomplished all that is needed for that liberation and for that freedom to occur with us and with the creation as a whole. Isn't that amazing? For me, that is so very encouraging. That is so very powerful for me, especially when I'm going through difficult times. I have to pause and grab onto that hope that this too shall pass, that this is not ultimately going to defeat me, that even though I feel I am down, even though I feel like I am ashes, that like the finish, so to speak, the victory that is in Jesus will raise me up again. The victory that Jesus has won for you will raise you up again. The victory, the done deal that has already been accomplished in Jesus motivates us to keep going, to keep steady, even in the face of life's roller coaster, even in the face of life's ebb and flow, even in the face of life's ups and downs, even in the face of life's betrayals and disappointments, we keep going. That's the difference for those who believe in Jesus, for those who are followers of Jesus Christ. We are not saying that we are perfect. In fact, we acknowledge our imperfection. Because this understanding of who God is and this understanding of the done deal that He has accomplished in Jesus includes the understanding that we are broken people. And that is why there was a need for that done deal. We understand that we are weak people. We understand that we are limited people. We understand that we are imperfect people. And that is why we also understand that our response is Jesus. That while we are weak, He is strong. That while we are limited, He is unlimited. That while we are incapable, He is more than capable. While we are imperfect, He is perfect, and He is holy, and He is majestic, and He is glorious. And we are so incredibly blessed and gifted to share in that which He is. And so He is our response to God. Jesus is God's message and messenger to us. And Jesus is our response to God. Hallelujah. Without that, we are lost because we recognize that we are incapable. We are weak. We are limited. That's what the last half of Romans 7 set us up to understand. Who, Paul says, will rescue me from the death of this body, or from this body that is subject to death? And he says, thank God through Jesus. And then in chapter 8, of Romans, he begins to explain how that is working out. He begins to share that Jesus has completed the deal on that cross, and with his resurrection, the deal is done. The deal of making sure that we are okay is accomplished. You see, the truth is, friends, no matter how good you think you are, no matter how good I think I am, I am still going to make mistakes. I am still going to fall short. I am still going to offend. I am still going to miss the mark. That's the fact of the nature of our broken lives and broken selves. And that's where Jesus comes in. That's where the done deal comes in. That in recognition of this fact, that no matter how good we think we may be, we will still fall short and make mistakes and offend. That we don't have to be the response to what God intended for us and what God created us to be. Jesus is the sinless, perfect, fully human, fully God, is the answer, the appropriate and complete and total answer, the appropriate and complete and total response that we are incapable of giving. So I thank God for Jesus. I thank God that God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, so that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son to condemn us. God did not send His Son to condemn the creation, but that through His Son, we all may have life. That, brothers and sisters, is the done deal. So the question is, do you believe that God in Jesus has done and given all that is necessary to gift you with a victory and with eternal life of love and joy? Do you believe that? You know, there is a saying among Bible commentators and theologians that you can possibly have different ways of looking at the question of our salvation, because it gets into the controversy. So is it one saved, always saved? Are you talking about universalism and so on and so forth? As I said, these are questions that we can get into. But I want you to notice this. We can approach these issues from two perspectives. From our perspective and from God's perspective. And I can say that from God's perspective, there is only one answer to the question. And the answer to that question from God's perspective is, it is done. Jesus gives that answer. It is finished. It is completed. I love you. I include you into my life of love and joy. That's God's perspective. Only one answer. It is done. It is completed. Everything that is necessary has been taken care of. Now, from our perspectives, then we can have more than one answer. You know, we can believe that it is done and live out that understanding. We can believe that it is not and yet live out as if it is. And so people do that. They try to live it out without really understanding how it is. And we can believe that it is not and live like it is not. And some people do that as well. And also we can believe that it is and live like it is. That's what I want to live like. I want to live out the truth that God indeed has taken care of all that needs to be taken care of for me. So that my struggles are not in vain. My struggles are in hope, not in vain. My struggles in this life are in hope. In the hope of the one who loves me and gave himself for me. And that is what Paul meant in Galatians 2 and in verse 20. I'm not going to turn there. I'm just saying it out for you. You can read that for yourself at your own time. In Galatians 2 in verse 20, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave his life for me. I'm crucified with Christ. And we're going to be talking some more about this next Sunday when we talk about the fact that we still suffer in this life. We share in Jesus' suffering in this life. It is an up and down life. It is a roller coaster life. It is a traumatic life sometimes. But in all of it, brothers and sisters and friends, God is in it with us. We are not alone, do not have to do life alone. And the victory has already been won. It is a done deal in Jesus, and we can engage life with that hope. Amen? My prayer is that God will help us to live out our lives in the Spirit, helping us and motivating us rather than allowing the material, the natural, to lead us. The material and the natural, oh God, are ways of death. The spiritual and our identity in Jesus is the way of life. Help us to live out that understanding with the sure hope of the victory and the done deal that you have won for us in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. At this stage, I would like to invite you to join our praise team for a closing song. But I hope that I will see you again next Sunday as we journey together to know Jesus and to make him known and to live out the truth of who he is and what he's done for us and to share that hope to a world that so desperately needs it. join our Grace Communion Richardson praise team for a closing song, and we will see you next Sunday by God's grace. God bless you.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. Oh, I'm gonna sing in the middle of a storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. I raise a in the middle of the storm.